Hallelujah. The title of the message tonight is Disable the Label. Disable the Label. I remember, that's a good number of years ago now, but I remember being invited to attend an introductory kind of information training day. Never quite got to the training bit, really. To a kind of discipleship course that was basically a 12-step program. In fact, it was something that we'd actually used ourselves back in the day for a while. But someone else from one of the other churches that invited this lady over to do this training day in the hope of inviting different people from different churches to come in the hope that it would maybe be something that would be useful with folks. And it was a 12-step program basically designed to help people overcome. It'd been designed, I think, by a guy that worked in prison ministry, and it'd been really effective with different people in different places. And people that might still be struggling with like residual stuff from their past. And this course was designed to, help to establish people in new creation living. There was different people there from different various local churches. And there was a lady from the mainland who'd come to do the information day. She was like a friend of a friend. Never met her before, but she was a friend of a friend. And so she was actually going to be staying with us. And that's how I got the kind of sideways invitation along. So anyway, as she was speaking about the program and about its positive effects and its positive impact on people's lives, you could just kind of sense a little bit of resistance in the room to what she was saying. And at some point, someone actually challenged her on something, and all of a sudden it just, it became a little, decidedly uncomfortable. And to be honest, I was pretty much just rolling with everything she was saying. I was pretty much in agreement with everything that she'd said. And so I kind of thought maybe I should express my support for her and perhaps try and maybe help explain her position. As, to be honest, the lady herself just couldn't believe that someone had come along to attend this thing and actually challenged something that she'd said, which was really positive. And she just seemed to be completely at a loss as to why any believers would take issue with anything that she'd said. And so, anyway, after a wee while of various other people giving their take on what they felt was wrong with what she had said, and one of the folks that was there, he happened to be just a local minister at the time, he actually said that the problem today here is that we are Presbyterian Calvinists and they are Pentecostal or Charismatic Arminians. And it was like, ba-boom! All of a sudden we had this us and them thing going on. And to me that was just a pretty poor attempt to label and to pigeonhole and really to divide us from one another. And so I said, I'm sorry, I said, but I don't fit that category. You can't label me with that one. I said, I'm neither a Calvinist nor an Arminian. But the incredible thing was, the lady didn't even know what a Calvinist or Arminian was. And all of a sudden she's been labelled with, you're a charismatic Arminian, and she didn't know what Arminian Calvinist was. And I regret it now, actually, because when we went back that night, I shared with her the 5 points of Calvinism, and she'd never heard of them, and she'd probably been better off never hearing about them. She couldn't believe it. She was totally and utterly shocked that anybody could believe that about the Lord. and it was like, she's just horrified. And that any Christian could believe that some of these points were actually in any way scriptural or were a reflection of God's heart. And so anyway, the information day never really led to anything further. And so the course never made it into any of the other local churches. And there's a good chance that some precious people who could have been helped had to remain bound as a result. Hopefully they've found freedom since, because that's a long time ago. I'm going back a good number of years, as I said. But the point I'm making here is that once the labels had been applied, the barriers were up, and then all of a sudden there was massive preconceptions and prejudices that were introduced because of the labels, and basically that prevented from that point any positive interaction. So that was it. Oof, the whole thing's kapucci. The poor person who had invited the lady out of the goodness of their heart and desire to see something probably felt a little bit deflated, but anyway, such is the way it goes sometimes. But as I've said many times over the years, isms bring schisms. As soon as it was They're the Arminians. They're the adherents of Arminianism, and we're the adherents of Calvinism. And all of a sudden, you've got two opposing isms, and you've got this massive schism in between. But the good news is, say the good news.
Good news.
The good news is that Jesus came to disable the labels. I mean, when I started thinking about this, and I thought, man, I thought we had a healing ministry in here, but I've been asked to disable something, baby. let me disable these labels that healing can truly come, you know. And Jesus, I believe, continually spoke words that disabled the labels that had held people captive and released them into the freedom that all of us were created to enjoy. And guess what? He didn't give us a mandate to create and apply new labels. Amen.
Right.
But he actually gave us a commission and a mandate to continue what he had begun, and by disabling the labels, to remove the limits on the lives of those who were contained by labels that have been applied to them, maybe since they were children or whatever, and just carried around these labels. And was it Ron Seal years and years ago had a big advertising campaign? It does exactly what it says on the tin. You know, and I think Colgate even stole it at one point and said it does exactly what it says in the tube. But a lot of people, you know, because people have accepted the labels that have been applied to others, they expect them to do exactly what it says on the tent. And we are here, I believe, to prophetically announce that the day of labels being disabled has arrived. And then, so in Luke chapter 7, let's go to the scripture, Luke chapter 7, verse 36, it says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus over for a meal. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at the dinner table. And just then a woman of the village, the town harlot, the town harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisee, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet, kissed him, and anointed them with the perfume. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man was the prophet I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is who's fallen all over him. How often do we miss the potential of what someone could be because we limit them to a label that's been applied to them, a label that we foolishly think describes everything that they could ever be? What did Jesus come to do? He came to disable the label. I mean, there's no question here. It's quite clear. It's recorded there in Luke chapter 7. There's no question here that this woman was the town harlot. That's who she was. But who knows, a prophet is not concerned with holding people captive to their past. A prophet is not there to affirm people in who they are in regard to their past. A prophet comes to release you from your past. A prophet comes to throw open the door that invites you into your future. The prophet comes to disable your label.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I said the prophet comes to disable your label. So that who you were can no longer prevent you from being who you really are.
Yeah.
Who you were can no longer prevent you from being who you really are and fulfilling your potential to be everything that your Heavenly Father has planned and destined you to be. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And they don't have a lot to do with the labels you've been wearing and the labels that have been applied to you. Loser, don't fit my plans. The Pharisee who doubted that Jesus was a prophet was just about to discover how much of a prophet he really is. Because it goes on in verse 40 and it says, Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Oh, he says. I can't remember what translation this is. I'm not sure it's the message like it is. He says, oh, tell me. Bring on. Jesus says, two men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up, and so the banker cancelled both debts. Which of the two would be more grateful? Simon answered, "Well, I suppose the one who was forgiven the most." "That's right," said Jesus. Then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, "Do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume." Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and so she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. What's happening here? The town harlot is having her label disabled. Amen. And all of a sudden, she's becoming identified by the purpose for which she was created, which is to be a generous and extravagant worshipper. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus prophetically confirms her new life of freedom from the limitations of the label that she's been carrying. Because he turns to her in verse 48, it's recorded, and he says, "Then he spoke to her, 'I forgive your sins. Your past is past. The old is gone and the new has come. The label has been disabled.'" I mean, I've shared this many times over the years because I remember, I don't even know how it showed up in TV, because not many Christian things used to show up on TV at the time, but if you've been in church around me in the last 30 years, you've probably heard this a lot. I'll never forget that I was young at the time, but it was a testimony on TV, one of the briefest testimonies I've ever heard and one of the most powerful, because it was someone on the streets of New York, and they were interviewing people who'd been impacted, I think maybe by a particular ministry, street ministry, and there was this lady, and she was so excited, and the person doing the interview, it was a secular TV program, there was no Christian TV at that time, and the man said, "So what's your story?" She said, in her New York accent, which I would try and emulate right now, but she said, one night, recently, she said, "I knelt down a tramp, and I stood up a lady." "I knelt down a tramp, and while I was down there on my knees, my label got disabled." My old label was disabled. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I mean, I'll never forget it. I mean, you're talking here, I don't know, nearly, probably 40 years ago I heard that, and it's never left me because it was just so powerful. I knelt down a tramp. I mean, how incredible is that? I knelt down a tramp. And that's the way she wasn't afraid to call it the way it was. Why? Because she knew she was free from that. She didn't have to hide from that and cover it up and pretend she was something that she wasn't. She knew the past is past. The old is gone and the new has come. She said, "I knelt down a tramp, but hey, I stood up a lady." Now this lady's here doing all these things with Jesus, and this guy is processing what she's doing through her old label. Amen? Whereas what she's doing has got nothing to do with who she was. It's got everything to do with who she now is. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find some of that ugly Pharisee in me sometimes, you know what I'm saying? So I think he's getting better, you know? But sometimes because it's like in a town like this or in an island like this, you know a lot of people and you know a lot about them. Well, if you're like me, you do anyway. I don't know why I pick up information, but I do. And so sometimes you see someone in church, and the first thing you would think of was who they used to be. Well, you've got to knock that down. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I remember when one guy, way back at the beginning of the church, when one guy got saved who'd been a bit of a lad and been in trouble and been in jail and everything else, and he came to stay with us for a while, and so he would come out in the milk run with me, and he was well known around that area, and people would say to me, "I'm not giving him the milk money." I'd say, "Why not?" "Because he's a thief." They didn't know that the label had been disabled. It was amazing. I couldn't believe how many people still had that. Some of them Christians. I say, "No, he's born again now." Oh. Then there was some that just rejected out of hand, and the others, you know, would be the "we'll see." Well, thank the Lord he's still going on. Because the label was disabled. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll never forget a guy that showed up at our door one day because I'd been once, I'd seen him in town around the place, and every time I saw him, because I judged him totally by how he looked, because he had long hair when nobody else had long hair, tattoos when nobody else had tattoos, and piercings everywhere when nobody else had piercings everywhere, especially not the Christians. And I used to see him in town in the supermarket, I'd go, oh, dodgy geezer, you know. And then one day in Dalbeg, you know, that wonderful place in the edge of the middle of nowhere, where you just tucked away, like, you know, I get knock at the door, oh, who's that? I go to the door, who's standing there but me? And I'm like, am I going to get him the bums? Am I going to get rid of him? You know what I'm saying? Fast. Well, you've seen him, it was him and I phoned somebody for prayer before I answered the door, you know. And he's just standing there, man. He's like, hey, how you doing? I said, oh. He says, I've just moved to this area. He said, I'm looking to start weaving, and I've got nowhere to put my loom. And somebody told me you had some sheds behind your house, and maybe I could put my loom in one of your sheds. So my wee brain's going, I'm not in the spirit at all. I'm just totally in the flesh, you know. I think I'm in the spirit, but I'm not. I'm in the wrong spirit, you know. That spirit that Jesus said to James and John, you don't know what spirit you're of. Even when you think you're in, you know, because you're thinking, well, this guy's from the devil, or I'm like, well, the devil just showed up at my door. I don't want him in my shed, you know what I'm saying? And so I thought, I can't lie to him. So I said, well, actually, the sheds belong to my mother-in-law, which is true. And I said, so I'd actually have to ask her. So he said, all right, okay, that's fine, you know. And I said, well, I'll let you know. Of course, so he goes off to his old green caravanette and climbs in. And he's not got even reached the door of it when all of a sudden the conviction of the Holy, the heavens open. The conviction of the Holy Spirit falls upon me like a weighty thing. And I'm like, what did I just do, you idiot? Oops, wrong label. I don't know how many times I do that. Yesterday I called myself an idiot about 14 times. And then I went and prepared this message.
And the label was the same.
The label was the same. Hallelujah. But I thought, what have I just done? And so I started moving on it straight away. And I did a phone Katrina as well. And she was a good Tory, you know, and all that sort of stuff. but she believed in work ethic, you see. So I didn't tell her anything about how he had long hair, piercings and tattoos. I just said he wanted to work. Wasn't that really good and commendable? And he'd like to put his loom in the shed. She said, oh, well, if he wants to clean it out, he can do that. So I said, yes. So I jumped in the caravan, found where he lived, went into his house and said, you can put your... And that was the beginning of... A man getting saved. Yeah. Amen. I mean, he would come in, the house would give him a cup of tea, he would come in the house, I'd go out to him at the shed. He said he was struggling with arthritis and stuff. I said, oh, well, can I pray for you? He says, he didn't say, oh no. He said, yeah, but what? Then he said to me, maybe I could come to church with you. I'm like, really? And that time we had a minibus and he lived up off the main road. Now, we would pick up a lot of people, and some of the Christians, you would have to sit out of the house when beep, beep, beep for about half an hour before they showed up. Then he'd come out and say they weren't coming today. Now, this guy lives half a mile off the main road, and I drive along and I see him standing on the main road with his wife and three boys, and he's wearing a suit. A shirt and tie. And I'm like, what in the world? What's going on here? And he gets into the minibus, he goes over to church. We go to church, I preach, and him and his wife comes forward immediately and responds to the message. Lots of stuff shake when we pray for him. And then on the way back, because I happened to have mentioned Alistair Crowley, the Satanist cove, during the message, the lady says, is your stove on? I said, yes. She said, do you think I could bring some stuff down and burn it in your stove? She says, I've been doing a tarot set or something, whatever you call it, by Alistair Crowley for the last while, and there's some other things I would like to burn them. And nobody said that you're supposed to burn that stuff. It was just a book of acts. Mm. I said, oh, it was. And And the labels are all getting disabled. By who? By the disabling of labels. Hallelujah. And we had a bonfire that Sunday afternoon. My brother Ali said, he said, that's the most exciting bonfire I've ever been in. Religious spirits got stirred up because Katrina's welcome. So everyone said, why are you having a bonfire on the Sabbath? I said, but it's not a regular bonfire. This is a Holy Ghost bonfire. Ah! Praise God. But see, I went somewhere the other day to transact a little bit of business. I'm trying to be a little bit evasive, but I walked in and I'd been talking to this guy on the phone a couple of times, but I'd never met him. Now there's two guys standing there. One guy's got long hair and a beard. The other guy's kind of clean cut. And I instantly thought, the clean cut guy must be the guy I'm looking for. Come on there, somebody help me. So I just hang around waiting, and then the clean cut guy kind of walks off, and the other guy starts making his way to the office. I go, oh. I said, are you so and so? He said, yes. I said, oh, there you go. I thought, I've been overtalking to this. What is it? I mean, just so quick to stereotype people, to pigeonhole people, amen, and to write people off, you know what I'm saying? Because of how they look or what they, I mean, it's just, how mad is that? Jesus spoke to her and he said, I forgive your sins, your past is past, the old is gone, the new has come, your label has been disabled. Yeah. In verse 49 it says, and that set the dinner guest talking behind his back. Who does he think he is forgiving sins? You can imagine, can't you? Mm-hmm. And it goes on in verse 30, it says, but he ignored him. Good move. And said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, religion said that her label disqualified her. So Jesus disabled the label and told her that she qualified for a new life where there would be nothing missing. Nothing broken. See, scripture says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. It says that he demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It says that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. It says that in Colossians 2, it says he wiped out the certificate of debt that was against us, and he took it out of the way, yeah, nailing it to the cross. Yeah. All of the labels, he took them and he nailed them to the cross. He disabled all of the labels. When Jesus said that, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I'm sending you to disable the labels in people's lives and strip them of the power of limitation. You know, Paul said something, he said, we've been given a ministry and a word of reconciliation. We've been given a ministry to prophetically speak words into people's lives that disable the labels that have held them down. Labels like addict. Yeah. Labels like alcoholic. Or worthless. I mean, there's 100,000 things you could say. Stupid, ugly, failure, hopeless, useless, loser, whore, not good enough, pathetic, never change, born this way, genetically predisposed, sick. Special needs, how about that one? Let's get rid of that one.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of all the limitations that go along with that one. Let's disable the label. Waste of space, angry, depressed, weak. What about terrorist? What about jihadist? Just a label. That's all it is, just a label. But we've been given a prophetic anointing to disable the labels. To speak prophetically into people's lives and to speak words into their lives that disable the labels. That see them for who they are, precious people that God created in his image that Jesus came to redeem so they could live the life that he created them to live. That's why we're here to disable the labels. What about murderer? Or rapist? Terror? What, come on. We could go on, couldn't we? Because they're just labels. But Jesus came to disable so that these labels will no longer limit people and hold them contained so they can be released to live a new life, a brand new life, a life that Jesus came that they might have, a life of fullness, a life of abundance, superabundance. We've been given a ministry to speak a word that informs them that whoever they are and whatever they have done, their sins are forgiven.
Right. Right.
And whoever believes that will discover that their label has just been disabled. And there's actually a brand new life available to them where there's healing and where there's restoration. And if others don't like what we're saying or who we're saying those things to, and that's what happened in that, when I spoke about it in the beginning, that's what really... what began to stir up stuff, because it was like what this lady was saying was, you know, this course just tells people who they are and what God's heart is towards them, and what, no matter who they are or what they've done, and that began to stir up just. And if others don't like what we're saying, if they don't like the words that we're speaking into people's lives, if we don't like the hope that we're presenting people with, then you know what we need to do? Just ignore them and keep on speaking. Just ignore them and keep on speaking. See, Jesus sat down at a well one day and he disabled the serial divorcee, multi-marriage, living in, multiple marriage, living in sin disqualification label that Samaritan woman carried. And he prophetically qualified and released her into her destiny as a worshipping prophetic evangelist. Amen. Like, instantaneously. Like, not even overnight, same day. Jesus disabled the Roman soldier enemy disqualification label from the centurion whose servant was sick, and prophetically qualified him as a prophetic teacher of faith and someone who could teach on the authority of the believer. Hallelujah. Jesus disabled the Gentile dog disqualification label that was attached to the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was severely demon possessed, and prophetically qualified her as a prophetic teacher of faith and deliverance, both to that Roman centurion and to that Syrophoenician woman. Jesus commended them because they had great faith. Imagine going from Gentile dog religion's label on you, religion's designation of you, Gentile dog, to hearing God himself speak to you and tell you you've got great faith. Hey, that's something. And not after 2 years of probation either, like same day. Jesus disabled the unclean disqualification label attached to many sick people, many leprous and paralyzed and blind and deaf and demonized people, and prophetically qualified them to live and begin to enjoy the full life that they were created and destined to live. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
He came to disable the labels.
Amen.
And he sent us to do the same thing. Let's stand up together. I believe as we go into this week, we need to be aware that there's labels that have been applied to people. People that we know, people that we interact with. Sometimes they've even been self-applied or at least self-reinforced. Who knows what I'm talking about? Like I said yesterday, I don't know how many times I call myself an idiot. I was thinking back to something that happened, and I kept saying, that's what I thought. I would laugh, kind of laugh, and I'd say, yeah, idiot. So sometimes maybe I just need to be a bit more professional, you know. Not everybody gets your sense of humour, you know what I'm saying? You're dealing with something that's quite, you know, it's quite serious. And, you know, you're supposed to be professional, but you can't resist just bringing a wee bit of humour in it. But then you realise they didn't get it. And they've gone, and you're like, I don't think they got that. And you idiot. Some people, you know, they even have self-applied, self-reinforced labels, and we need to understand that these labels cannot limit their potential to be everything that God, in his incredible love and in his infinite mercy, has created and planned for them to be. So as we go into this week, I want to invite you, let's go speak words of life that disable labels and that set the captives free. You know, something else happened just that this past week, and I've nearly done, I think. Hallelujah. But, you know, who gets new wine for new wineskins?
Yeah.
And actually bothers to read it.
Usually.
But yeah, I said it goes out anyway, the first, it goes out on the first of every month and really early in the morning. But anyway, I think a few hours after it had gone out, I got an email from someone. And it said, could you please remove me from your email list? But I didn't recognise email, and it wasn't actually on the list. So I then sent an email and said, I'm sorry, your email address isn't on the list. Do you receive the newsletter at another email address? Because if you do, then let us know, and I'll complete your request, basically. So that's fine. So then, and I got it back from this person who I know, and I would have labelled him as Pentecostal. And so I instantly went back and reread the message just to see what I might have said that would have offended a Pentecostal. And then, of course, I did what the person asked, and I removed him from the list. And then the next day, someone who would be definitely labelled as Lewis Presbyterian wrote me and said, that message was brilliant, superb teaching. That's how reliable labels are. So I instantly went back and reread the message again to see what I could have said that would have brought such a response. That's why we must never allow labels to stop us from speaking the words that qualify someone, that qualify everyone to have the old labels disabled and to begin to receive everything that's on the Father's heart to bless them with, because he wants to bless everybody with everything that he has. Amen?
Amen.
God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good by disabling labels and healing those who'd been bound by them. Amen. Why don't you say it tonight as we close? I'm a label disabler. Say that fast a few times. And you'll be worshipping in tongues before you know it. Say it again. Come on. I'm a label disabler. Hallelujah. There's nothing left, folks, but to do, but just go and do it. Amen. What are we going to do this week? We're going to disable labels. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You're blessed tonight.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you again for your incredible goodness. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to disable the labels. You came and you set so many people free, Lord, from the things that they'd been labeled with that held them captive and held them down and limited them and hindered them and prevented them from experiencing your goodness in their lives. And so, Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight, if any of us here tonight, Lord, and Lord, we're still carrying some of that, these old labels. And I just thank you tonight, Lord God, that they don't have to stick anymore. Lord, that you unstuck them all. That you took them and you wiped them out, Lord God, and you erased them and you took them and you nailed them to the cross. So, Father, I pray that nobody in here tonight would any, for one moment longer, live under the power of a false label. In Jesus' name, and as we go out into this week, I pray, Father, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, not to look at people and to, Lord, to act in any prejudicial way towards anyone because of labels that others have, that have been applied to them. Lord, but to see them with the full potential that you have placed within them, to be everything that you created them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.